From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. Don Day will be here at the end of the half hour to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest. And after you've been locked inside for a couple of days because of all the snow and the rain and the sleet, you might want to get out. I've got a great place for you to head to. That's in Joliet at the Joliet Junior College this weekend for the Farmland Investment Fair. It's hosted by the Chicago Farmers. The details will be coming up later. Speaking of things that you could have done this week but you can't do now, the ag panels that are scheduled for this evening in Lincoln and tomorrow in New Ross, Indiana, have both been canceled. More details on that a bit later right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the March soft red winter wheat was down 5 cents at $8.35¾. May at $8.66¼, 4½ lower. July at $8.86, down 3½. And September futures, $9.06¾, down 0½ cent. Hard red in Kansas City at $9.24, down 0.75 cents. March corn futures, $6.66, up 6½. The May at $6.76½, up 6½. And July at $6.81, up 6. September corn, $6.81, up 6 cents. And the December futures at $5.96, up 4¾. The July at $6.81, as I mentioned before, up 6. It was the May futures that were at $6.76½. I dropped down a line there, up 6½ cents. March bean futures, $14.38, up 25. May at $14.48, up 24¾. July, $14.53, up 24½. And November beans at $13.68, up 27 cents. The March bean meal at $3.90, up 9.70. Oil at $58.72. 84 higher on the afternoon. And the Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the February contract at $109 even, a nickel higher. March feeders at $127.47½, 52½ cents lower. And the lean hogs February contract at $85.07½ were down $2.17½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $90.67 a barrel, down $1.52. Ethanol at $2.33½, that's 0.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.35, down 0.7 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.75 even, just about a penny higher on the day. And the gold futures at $1,339.60 an ounce, up $5.80. The Dow now at 12,021, 130 points higher. The dollar at 77.07 is down 0.65. And the CRB index at 342.17, up 0.75. Of course, we're under a winter weather storm warning for Champaign, Vermilia, Piatt, Douglas, Coles, Edgar, and Moultrie counties. That until noon tomorrow for Macon, DeWitt, McLean, Ford, Iroquois counties. A blizzard warning until 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for this afternoon yet. As it comes from the National Weather Service, they say snow, sleet, possibly mixed with freezing rain this afternoon. Some thunder is even also possible. A high near 23, blustery winds northwest at 24 to 29. They'll gust to 39, the chance of precip this afternoon, 100%. Little or no ice accumulation, that's fortunate, is expected. Total daytime snow, sleet accumulation, 3 to 7 inches possible. Tonight, snow, widespread blowing snow. The snow could be heavy at times. Snow, thunder again possible, low around 17. The wind chill values at 1 to 6 degrees. Windy northwest winds at 26 to 30. They'll gust to 43 at the chance of precip, 100%. New snow accumulation, 7 to 11. So that makes it, 10 to 17 through this evening. And snow and areas of blowing snow before noon tomorrow. And a chance of 80% of snow, 1 to 2 inches tomorrow by noon to 3 o'clock. We'll have a more detailed forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson, I was able to speak to, tells me that he's had trouble with electricity there in New Market, been in and out of electricity. His phones were out earlier when I tried to call him. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, fortunately, is capable of filling in for him this afternoon as her office space is still up and running. Jackie, I hope you're safe there in your office today.
Well, thank you very much. We feel good about being here, I can tell you that much, compared to what it looks like outside.
It is an ugly day, and there are a couple of things that I want to go through, and they're not related to the marketplace, but that you and I talk to about, just because we both have farm backgrounds. I know that you have a generator on your place. It's natural gas. I've got one that's gasoline. Things that we need to have kind of in store as we make our way through this next 3 days where we couldn't be without electricity, be without water. In your case, natural gas probably will be fine because that'll be running. But in my case, I need to have gasoline in store, and I can't run out and get it because if I'm out of electricity, the gasoline station's probably out of electricity.
That's
too.
True.
Right?
That's really the
and,
truth.
Yeah, yeah. You probably, while you've got electricity, fill up the water bottle so you have something to drink if things go out. Have candles around, a little candy. If you haven't made a trip to the store, it's kind of ugly to get out at the moment, but it might be good to have some things on hand. I was there in the IGA in Mahomet, where I live, yesterday afternoon, and it was just packed. People were putting in supplies yesterday afternoon. Probably a good idea, too.
Well, I think so, and I think that it speaks to the fact that the Weather Service seems to be a little more accurate as the years have gone on, and people are taking it seriously. And this is not the type of storm, especially when you look at the temperatures they're predicting for tomorrow evening, you know, at negative 4 degrees air temperature, along with winds that could be gusting up to 45 or 50 miles an hour, is deadly.
It is deadly. So, and a couple of other things, speaking of the air temperature, so if you have a wood-burning fireplace, just things that cross my mind, I've got a wood-burning fireplace, make sure that you actually have the wood near the house, because if it's 4 below, you don't want to make a run.
No, that isn't the truth.
Just to keep yourself warm, it's awful cold.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad when you let your pet outside to do their job and they fall down.
Yeah,
What's been happening around the area. One of our clients down in Missouri said he is a German Shepherd that just loves this weather, and he just slid right off the porch.
It's tough. So, well, farmers have animals to take care of. I know they'll do that. They'll put the straw up and make sure. But if you've got pets, make sure they're in. They've got adequate water. They've got a place to stay warm. They've got a place to get out of all of this materials. And I suppose overall, just stay put and don't move, right?
Okay. I think that's exactly the truth. It's, you know, it's so tempting to want to go out there and see what it's like, especially when you hear in parts of the country 8 to 10 foot drifts, you know, and things like that, and sometimes people think four-wheel drive vehicles can do anything, but they can't.
Yeah, stay put if you absolutely can. I can do my job from home, and I may very well do that tomorrow. If I'm on the air, I'll let you know where I am. I've got the equipment to make it happen from other places, and we'll try to do that. Okay, I only left you maybe a minute and a half to cover the marketplace, so why don't you give me a quick overview of what happened today and whether the markets be open tomorrow or not.
Well, I think, you know, I've talked with CME Group, and CME Group is saying because the electronics, more than likely they will be open, but they won't make a decision until tomorrow morning, depending upon how much snow they actually get. When you looked at the markets today, I thought it was interesting. You know, we blew through on beans, you know, the uptrend line, and managed to close above the highs that we've had. Corn got to within a quarter of a cent of the contract high on March, and then just couldn't quite push its way through. So we're going to see once. I think we've had them winding as spreads between wheat, corn, and beans today because Canada Stats came out saying that they were going to plant more acres, or they have more acres of wheat than what they expected to have. So this was kind of a combination. But most of what's driving this market at the moment, I think, is the weather, you know, and the idea that this doesn't bode well for that early spring that we're looking for. And yet, at the same time, I think it's a real positive when it comes to trying to recharge some of this soil moisture that we need as we head into the spring.
You think it offers up an opportunity for a producer to lay in new crop sales for corn and beans?
I think he's got to be very conscious of what the basis is, and I think it's a great time for him to be contacting his elevator to make sure that they're still writing contracts and that they're not widening the basis like crazy. Pretty hard not to, if you haven't made any sales, when you look at November beans being at the above 1365, very attractive number at this point in time. My fear is, Todd, that as we go down the line here, you know, beans are very competitive with corn on corn, and we may actually down the road find out that we have more bean acres than what everybody's advertising at this point in time.
Jackie, we thank you for taking the time with us and filling in for Wayne Nelson today.
Not a problem, Todd. Thanks so much. Be safe going home.
I will. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's located in Champaign, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, USDA on Monday released its closely watched dietary guidelines, which recommend Americans need to eat less, eat better, and exercise more. The guidelines are issued once every 5 years. One of the most significant new recommendations calls for people 51 years and older to reduce daily sodium intake to under 1,500 milligrams, far less than the average American consumes. A week-old wage strike in Argentina's main grains export hub has stopped 45 ships from loading grains. The protest has virtually paralyzed export facilities and crushing plants operated by Cargill, Bunge, Louis Dreyfus, and others. Strikers are demanding pay increases amid double-digit inflation in the South American country. The strikers account for only about 13% of the workforce in the affected ports, but soy crushers, who make up the remaining 87%, have not been going to work because they do not want to cross the picket lines. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the White House plans to send the pending U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement to Congress, quote, as quickly as possible. Clinton says, quote, there are still negotiations that are taking place. The United States and Colombia signed the FTA in 2006. It has been held up in Congress for years because of concerns by House Democrats regarding violence against trade unionists in Colombia. Top Chinese officials say that China cannot rely on imports to ensure the security of its domestic grain supply, and that maintaining 95% self-sufficiency for rice, wheat, and corn is a fundamental national policy orientation. China imported a record 54.8 million tons of soybeans and a 15-year high 1.5 million tons of corn in 2010. China's grain output increased for a seventh consecutive year in 2010 to 546.4 million tons, but China's State Council office predicts that China's self-sufficiency in grain supply may decline in coming years. Archer Daniels Midland Company's fiscal second quarter earnings rose 29% as the grain processing giant saw improved demand and pricing for agricultural commodities. For the quarter ending December 31st, ADM reported a profit of $732 million, or $1.14 a share, up from $567 million, or 88 cents a share a year earlier. Earnings more than doubled at its agriculture services businesses. ADM's much smaller bioproducts division, which includes its ethanol business, had earnings double as well on improved ethanol margins and volume, as well as stronger lysine margins. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The Ag Panel is scheduled for tonight and for tomorrow in Lincoln and in New Ross, Indiana, respectively. That's Lincoln, Illinois at the County Fairgrounds, and the Methodist Church in New Ross, Indiana have both been canceled. Both have been rescheduled. Lincoln, Illinois will be on the 31st day of March. The New Ross, Indiana Outlook will be on the 23rd day of February. You can find all that information on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, by the time we get to Saturday of this week, I'll bet you're starting to go just a bit stir-crazy, and hopefully you will be dug out of wherever you're dug into over these next 3 days as the snow falls. And if you get the opportunity, you might want to make your way to Joliet, to the Joliet Junior College, for the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. The Chicago Farmers were organized in 1935. Its purpose is to advance production agriculture and agribusiness. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that provides information, educational programs, and a forum for discussing issues for its members and others interested in agriculture efficiency and competitiveness in a global economy. Now, members of the Chicago Farmers, as reported on the website, are a unique blend including farmland owners, commodity traders, agribusiness leaders, farm management professionals, real estate consultants, and those from other affiliated businesses. The common thread throughout the membership is an interest in agribusiness and the promotion of agriculture in general. Saturday, February 5th, the organization will host its annual Farmland Investment Fair. Jeff Martin, a farmer from Mount Pulaski in the middle of Illinois, chairs the program.
It includes 16 different seminar sessions, topics related to agriculture production, buying and selling of farmland, plus approximately 40 exhibit booths with people there related to buying, selling farmland, ag financing, anything to do with farmland.
The fair, again on Saturday, February 5th, will be held at Joliet Junior College. By the way, it's the first public community college in the United States and was established in 1901. JCC is in Joliet, Illinois.
Doors open at 8 a.m. and last till 2 p.m. Lunch is included in that fee. Lunch is served from 11 to 1.
Typically, Jeff Martin says about 60 to 70% of the folks attending the fair are landlords. The rest are farmers. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois now joins us to take our look at the energy markets. Harry, thanks for being with us on this. Well, it's going to get a lot colder, but it's certainly a snowy afternoon.
Hey, that's right, Todd. It's definitely a snowy afternoon over here in Bloomington also.
Talk to me a little bit about the energy markets and what's been happening, what you see, and how maybe weather impacts the energy markets.
Well, what we've been seeing is a lot of price strength here this week, especially yesterday and the day before, Friday and Monday. We definitely had some incredible strength in the markets, and a lot of it was based on the concerns over in Egypt. There's a couple of things over in Egypt. Of course, the concern over the potential closure of the Suez Canal. About 1.5 million barrels a day of oil are moving through the Suez Canal as they head from the Middle East region up into the Mediterranean, head into Europe. But then there's also a pipeline that transmits about 1 million barrels a day of oil that goes across the country also from one port to the other. So far, Todd, both of those items seem to be open and working fairly normally, but for now we'll watch those, and the energy markets are very nervous that there may be some closures of one or both of those. So that's kind of kept us real strong here, and that's what's provided this strong knee-jerk reaction back up. In fact, Friday early in the day, we were around $85 in crude, and then yesterday and today we're back up around 90 or touching 92 at times.
Is there any historical perspective on what a closing or of one of those two things in the Suez area might do to the marketplace?
Well, keeping in mind that it's probably something more for Europe, it's probably a supply issue for Europe rather than the U.S. We've seen in the month of January, the London crude market, it traded as high as about $12 or $13 over New York crude. We really had a hard time justifying that much of a spread, especially moving that much from about $2 or $3 over to about $13 over. And we had a hard time doing that, hard time justifying that in 1 month. And now I guess we can kind of see why partially that was. It was because of the some of this potential problem in Egypt. So I don't have a lot of historical perspective from it in the past, but definitely that's kind of what's going on here now.
Let's go back to the domestic marketplace. Have you been watching what's been happening with the snowstorms and how that impacts the energy markets?
Well, definitely. I mean, the cold weather coming in behind this is definitely going to provide for a lot of demand for propane. I think later this week the highs could be almost single digits here in many areas of the Midwest. So obviously propane demand, we expect that our members, our FS member cooperatives, will be moving a lot of propane. There are adequate supplies out there. Also with the natural gas is used to heat a lot of homes and businesses here in the Midwest, and that'll definitely be seeing a lot of draw of demand. The heating oil is more used in the Northeast U.S. For home heating, and so it just depends on how much this cold air moves into the Northeast U.S. over the next week or two in here. The computer models here in the Midwest, though, do show even colder air next week compared to this week, and we'll see if that holds true or not.
And finally, when we talked to you a month ago on this program, your suggestion was that producers, farmers, prepare themselves to book their diesel and fuel needs, energy needs for the coming year fairly quickly. Has that time come and gone?
What happened was we never got much of a break at all. The market continued to strengthen. If I was a producer right now that still didn't have anything covered, I think I'd have to go ahead and get some covered in here. Talk to your local FS member cooperative and see what programs they have for spring and maybe even for fall needs, and get some coverage, because my concern is that over the next several months, we may even try to ratchet higher than where we're at the present time.
Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us once a month on a Tuesday to take a look at the agricultural energy market. You can hear him again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. There you'll find all of our information, including updated information on what and what will not transpire this week in the way of our Ag Outlook panels. It's pretty simple. If they were scheduled, they are now canceled. There was one tonight in Lincoln and one tomorrow night in New Ross, Indiana. Both the Lincoln, Illinois, New Ross, Indiana Ag panels have been canceled. In just a couple of minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Baked Alaska Day. It's also Feast of St. Bridget of Ireland, patron of cattle, chicken farmers, and dairy maids. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, Botanical Magazine was first published in London, edited by William Curtis. In 1913, Grand Central Terminal in New York City opened. It was the largest railroad station in the world, with 44 platforms and 67 tracks on two levels. In 1939, State assemblymen in Maine introduced a bill in the legislature to make it illegal to use tomatoes in New England clam chowder. According to some sources, the addition of tomatoes in place of milk was initially the work of Portuguese immigrants in Rhode Island, as tomato-based stews were already a traditional part of Portuguese cuisine. Scornful New Englanders called this modified version Manhattan-style clam chowder because, in their view, calling someone a New Yorker was an insult. In 1953, James Lewis Kraft died, the founder of Kraft Company. He patented, in 1916, pasteurized processed cheese, a low-cost cheese that would not spoil. While not overly popular with the public, the U.S. Army purchased over 6 million tins of it during World War I. And during the Depression, it became popular because of its low cost. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don, probably don't have time for the agricultural weather forecast. Let's just stick with what's happening in the Midwest. It's an ugly mess. Where would you like to start?
Well, as you said, it's an ugly mess. And basically, we get to start right smack dab in the middle of the country where we're going to have everything from heavy rains to heavy snows, and right in between the heavy rains and the snows will be a thick layer of ice that will cover a good swath of the lower Midwest, with the bigger snows being across the northern and northwestern areas of the Midwest, especially northern and west central and northwest areas of Illinois, eastern Iowa, northern and western Missouri, eastern Kansas, then going across the Great Lakes. The system is going to drop a copious amount of precipitation. When you melt the snow and you measure the rain, there'll be many areas that will see anywhere between 1 to 2 inches of liquid equivalent, and that would be across Missouri, western and northern Illinois, into southwestern Michigan, and then a half to three-quarters to over an inch elsewhere.
If we put it all that down in snow, is that what, 18 to inches to 2 feet?
Well, with a storm like this, you're obviously going to have varied amounts, but the biggest snows will be focused, and wouldn't you bet, right on top of Chicago. There's going to be some help from some lake effects going on there, as well as west central and northwest Illinois, where snowfall amounts are going to be anywhere from, I'd say, 14 to 24 inches. You're going to get some areas that get a little bit more than that, but especially those areas, northern, that would be northeast, north central, and the west central areas of Illinois, going to be the big winners, as well as southeast Iowa and northeast Missouri.
It's bad enough that the snow is coming, but the wind is coming, too. That'll blow it, and it's going to be cold.
Oh, yeah. Temperatures on the back side of the system are brutal. In fact, we could argue that it's the coldest air of the season that's on the back side of the storm. We had places in far northern Montana and along the Saskatchewan border that were almost 50 below this morning. That's not with the wind chill. And that's the cold air that's sinking in onto the back side of the system. So we've got the snow, the ice, and the rain, and then behind it will be Arctic air.
Anything else that we need to discuss, or does that cover it all?
We're not done. I hate to say it, but it looks like at least for the first half of February, we can expect at least one or two more systems that will bring the threat of Arctic air, ice and snow and rain to the central part of the United States. The next one will arrive early next week.
Don, I say thank you, but I'm not sure that's in order at this point. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Don, and you have a good day, okay?
You too.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Stay safe out there if you can. Stay inside for sure. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.